the Bible class, I tell the class this: if you will do an introduction, that is a background study, to every book of the Bible, you will increase your knowledge exponentially in a very short amount of time. If you'll do just one a week, within 66 weeks, you will have covered every book of the Bible, and your Bible knowledge will be unbelievably increased. You'll be smarter than almost any other person in the congregation, sometimes maybe even the preacher. I also tell them this: once you've done that study, then you need to go back through every one of those books and do an involved study with regard to the theme of every book of the Bible. A theme, very simply, is this: the golden strand that ties every word, every sentence, every verse, every paragraph, every chapter together in that particular book. And my friends, if you know the theme of a book well, it will help you as you do your verse by verse, because it will keep your mind having a proper perspective on what's going on in that book. A study of the theme of the book oftentimes will cause us to find what is referred to as the key verse of the book. A key verse is that one verse that sums up everything that is found within that verse in just a few brief words. Take, for instance, the theme of the book of Galatians is this: stand fast in your liberty. Stand fast in your liberty. In fact, the word liberty is used 3 times in the book. The word free is found 2 times in the book, and in contrast to that, the word bondage is found 6 times in the book. Don't be bound, don't be in bondage, don't be in slavery, be free. And once you've acquired that freedom, stand fast in that freedom. That's the message that Paul is giving to the saints of Galatia. The key verse of Galatians is Galatians 5:1. It mentions all 3 of those words that I just mentioned. Notice what Paul says: stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Liberty, free, bondage. Folks, Paul is focused, laser focused on this idea of liberty in Christ Jesus. And for the next few moments, I want us to take just that key verse, and I want us to look at it in detail. The title of the lesson, very simply, is the key verse of Galatians, Galatians 5, verse 1. There's 5 points that we're going to be making from that one verse. Let's begin, first of all, with what I refer to as the precept. Stand fast. This command that Paul gives to the church of Galatia is the primary action that he wants these Christians to take at this particular time in their life. You need to stand fast, he says. What in the world does the word stand fast mean? Strong says it means this: to be stationary. Now that ought to sound good to some folks, because they just like a good old stationary life, don't they? And when it comes to our Christian lives, that is a good thing. It means to persevere. Thayer says it means this: to stand firm, to persist, to keep on standing. Vine simply defines it with the same word: stand fast. I was trying to think of some illustrations that would help us to come to a better understanding of what it really means to stand fast, and 3 of them came to mind. Number one, a tall oak tree that is extremely old, that's roots run deep in the ground, is able to do what? Stand fast in the storms of life, is it not? Storm after storm after storm attacks that tree, and what does it do? It just continues to stand. Oh yes, it may come out a little bit beaten. There may be some limbs ripped off of it. There may be some leaves that are gone from it, but as far as it's standing, it just continues to stand. I played football when I was in high school, and I started in ninth grade, and I was a kind of a fat kid at that particular time. And you'll never believe this, but I played both offense and defense. On offense, I was an offensive guard. Now, nobody can believe that. I'm too little now to do that. And on defense, the coach put me in as a linebacker, and you can't believe that either. But what is a linebacker supposed to do, folks? A linebacker is supposed to stand fast, is he not? He is supposed to enter into that gap between the center, between the tackle, between the tight end, and he is to let no one go through that gap. You stand fast and you drop that man right there. Good linebackers can do that. Vic weren't a good linebacker. Anybody seen the movie The 300? Pretty good movie. 300 men stand at an entrance and line after line after line of attack come their way from an army that is more massive and much stronger than they. And what do? They stand and they stand and they stand until ultimately all 300 are killed in battle. Folks, Paul is exhorting these Christians to do what? To stand fast. You stand like that oak. You stand like that linebacker. You stand like those 300 men as they're being attacked by enemy forces. And notice where he tells them to stand, the place. Stand fast in the liberty. Paul wanted them to stand fast in their Christian liberty. It was Paul who had taken the gospel of Christ to the churches of Galatia. And the thing that he had brought to them was liberty, was it not? Jesus had said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:32. These individuals had heard the words of Paul. They had obeyed the words of Paul. They had experienced great freedom in Christ Jesus. And now Paul says, you stand in that freedom. What kind of liberties are we talking about? How about this? Free from the bondage of Satan. Free from the bondage of sin. I love this third one. Free from the bondage of self. And free from the bondage of servitude to the law of Moses. What freedom these individuals had experienced, had they not? Freedom that can only come by being a Christian, a child of the living God. Here's a blessing you've experienced. Please, Paul says, don't let it go. You stand firm in it. You persevere in it. You keep hold of it. The reason Paul gave this admonition is because their freedom was under attack, folks. And sadly, the Christians were leaving their freedom, going back to bondage. And that is exactly why Paul tells them, you stand fast in your liberty. There is no such thing in Scripture called once saved, always saved. That is a false doctrine, my friends. You and I are under attack constantly, are we not? By enemy forces, by Satan himself doing everything he can do to draw us away from our liberty in Christ Jesus. And the churches of Galatia were under attack. Notice the third point that he makes. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Freedom comes from a person, doesn't it? And that person is none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I find it interesting that during his ministry, Jesus talked a lot about freedom. And John records many of his words with regard to that freedom. Notice what he says in John 8, verse 36. If the Son therefore set you free or shall make you free, ye shall be what? Free indeed. Wow. There are many, many passages in the pages of the New Testament that talk about our freedom, our deliverance, our salvation in Christ Jesus. Let's look at just a few. For he that is dead is free from sin. Romans 6 verse 7. Folks, when you and I became a Christian, one of the things that the individual teaching us to do is this. You need to die to that old way of living. You can no longer persist in your sin. You can no longer persist in false doctrine. You can no longer persist in serving self. You must die to all of that. And having died to it, we become free from it, don't we? Notice another passage, Romans 7, verse 6. Paul says this, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein you were held. The law of Moses in the first century was an extremely important document, wasn't it? In fact, it was a document that many individuals believed was still an operative law at that particular time. And now Paul comes along and Paul tells Christians, that's not so. You've been delivered from the law. And notice what he says about the law. The law is dead wherein you are held. Folks, when something is dead, it is no longer active and alive. The law of Moses is no longer and hasn't been for 2,000 years a binding document upon the behavior of men. Paul says in Galatians 1 verse 4, who gave himself for us that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Colossians 1 verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. And it was Paul writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. My friends, we've been saved. We've been delivered, we've been made free. What a blessing. And that freedom in Christ was not obtained cheaply. It cost the Father a lot, did it not? It cost the Father his precious Son, Jesus Christ. And it cost Jesus a lot, did it not? It cost Jesus his very life on this earth. I want you to listen to what Paul writes about in Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. Jesus' death is what enabled us to be free from what? The curse of the law. What was the curse of the law? Death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And there was no forgiveness under the law of Moses. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He bore our punishment for us. But notice that next verse. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Because of what Jesus did, I am free from my sins and my transgressions. In thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. And guess what? If you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, you can raise your hand and you can say, I am one who has received that blessing. Freedom in Christ. But here's the problem. That freedom was under attack, as we said, among the churches of Galatia. And Paul exhorts those individuals, be not entangled again. There were false teachers who had entered into this congregation, and instead of being free, these individuals were what? Were being entangled in something that was error. That little word entangled, to hold in, to enslave, to ensnare. Thayer says it means to be held, to ensnare. Vine says to hold on. Something else rather than the gospel had grabbed on to the hearts of these individuals. It was what we refer to as Judaizing teachers, false teachers who had entered into these congregations. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ, Galatians 1 verse 7. Folks, false teachers can enter into any congregation and rob us of our freedom if we are not careful. And that is exactly what happened to these churches. Can you imagine, Paul, how upset he was to know that the very individuals that he had converted to Christ were being led astray by false teachers? He opens up the epistle stating how marveled he was over their departure. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. It is possible for false teaching to enter into my mind and lead me away from Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the salvation that is in him. Paul told the church, they zealously affect you, but not well. It's amazing to me how many people would rather embrace false teaching than they would embrace the truth. Isn't it? How easy it is to get a group of individuals led astray with error rather than get a group of individuals to stand fast in the gospel of Christ. They zealously affect you, but not well. Paul longed for these false teachers to be cut off from the saints of Galatia. Notice what he says. I would that they were even cut off which trouble you. Go home this afternoon. Look up Galatians 5:12 and do a little word study on those two words, cut off. Especially as applied to the theme of this book and what's really going on in this particular letter. These false teachers were entangling these individuals in what Paul refers to as a prison, the yoke of bondage. The prison was none other than the teachings of the old law. Here were Jews who believed that the old law was still binding and that these Gentiles needed to practice the old law. Paul had done battle with these individuals in the past, had he not, in the city of Jerusalem. Certain individuals who had been part of the Pharisees in times past had risen up and they were binding parts of the old law upon Gentiles. And one of the aspects of that old law was circumcision. And they said this, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. I want you to think about that. Here you are, a Christian, a Gentile, you've obeyed the gospel, and now some Jews come into your midst. And they proclaim to be Jewish Christians, but they tell you that you're not quite saved yet. And you say, well, what are you talking about? Well, there are parts of the law of Moses that you need to continue to abide by. And one of those is circumcision. Uh-oh. What am I going to do? Am I going to abide by circumcision or not? In fact, they're telling me, if I don't do this, I can't be saved. When Paul finds out about that, he immediately writes the discourse of the book of Galatians. Paul had not given subjection to these false teachers, no, not for an hour in Jerusalem, and he was not about to tolerate it at this particular point in time as well. Over and over and over in this book, Paul lets the Galatians know that the law of Moses is no longer an authoritative, binding law. It's been done away. And we could turn to Galatians 3, 23 through 25 to learn that. Notice what he says. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterward be revealed. Folks, here the word faith refers to the New Testament of Jesus Christ. The faith, the system of faith. He says, before the system of faith, the New Testament came, we were kept where? We were kept under the law, and that was the case. The law of Moses was a binding law. It was a covenant God had made between him and the Gentiles. Notice what he says. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. Now when I think of a schoolmaster, I think of a principal or a school teacher, don't you? That is not the meaning of this particular word. The word schoolmaster literally means this: one who brings a student to the teacher. There were individuals in towns who would go house to house, and they would pick up these children, and they would make certain that they were delivered to the school properly and on time. We might think of them as a bus driver today. Bus drivers come by the houses, pick up the children, take them to school, and drop them off to who? Drop them off to the teacher. That was the purpose of the law of Moses. To pick individuals up and to bring them to who? Bring them to Jesus Christ. Now notice the last part of this passage. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. Once those children had been delivered to the teacher, they were no longer under the authority of the schoolmaster. Folks, the same is true today. Now that we have this book, the New Testament of Jesus Christ, we are no longer under what? We are no longer under the law of Moses. That is not a binding law today. Paul warned these individuals that if they wanted to go back to the old law, that they would lose their salvation in Christ. Notice, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Galatians 5, verse 4. It is possible for men to lose their salvation. It is possible to fall from the grace of God. It is possible to have God in my life and then to remove myself from him. Is exactly what was happening at the churches of Galatia. No wonder Paul was exhorting them to stand fast. Stand fast in the liberty. Stand fast in your liberty. This was a matter of life and death, was it not? Right now, you are alive in Christ. And if you leave, if you follow these false teachers, you will lose your eternal salvation in the last day. A powerful passage in the book of Galatians. What's interesting is we've only touched the hem of the garment, haven't we? When it comes to the theme of this book, I bet we've only read about 10 verses. From the whole book of Galatians, there's a lot more Paul says in that book. However, we can see how this is the key verse, can't we? And how this key verse sums up the entirety of what Paul is trying to say in just a few short words. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. And folks, our message is the same as Paul's, isn't it? We want people to be free in Christ Jesus. False Christs will not save. Man-made religions will not save. Notice this next one. Man cannot save himself by his own humanly contrived works. And there are thousands in our world today who are trying to do just that. If I'll be good, if I'll pray, if I'll meditate, If I read my Bible, if I do good to others, God will save me. No, folks. There's only one way to be saved. There's only one way to find freedom, and that's in Christ Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Salvation is found only in Christ. It's the only place of deliverance. How do we get into Him? Let's look at one other passage in Galatians. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. For you're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. It is essential to believe in Him as the Son of God and to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Isn't that what Jesus said? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Do you need to do that this morning? We beg with you and plead with you to do that. We want you to experience the freedom that's found in our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Christian, what about you? Have you turned back to the world? Have you turned back to serving self? Have you begun to embrace some man-made religion? Maybe you need to repent and come back and ask God to forgive you and stand fast in your Christian liberty. You need to respond to the invitation. Won't you come as we stand and sing? Okay.